It is Happy Grandparents Day. Did you know that? How many grandparents we have? Raise your hand if you're a grandparent. Look at there. Wow. That's pretty good. I'm not one. That's not a challenge to my children. All right. But here's a great grandparent quote I read this week. Among those things that are so simple that even a child can operate them are grandparents. I love that. Yeah, and parents too, by the way. Children can operate you. Would you open your Bibles to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, as we go in through our sermons on faith. I want to remind you that Hebrews is written to a bunch of folks that were losing their faith. They were thinking about returning to their old ways of Judaism, of going back to temple sacrifice, to going back to trying to work out their salvation on their own. And the writer of Hebrews, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is reminding them that we don't do that. And he'll take us back on a run on history, and he starts with Abel. We talked about that two Sundays ago. The faith of Abel and Enoch and Noah before the flood. What an incredible amount of faith. The way they worshiped, the way they walked, and the way they witnessed to the whole world. Noah condemned the world by his faith. And then we have to address something immediately with our faith. And last Sunday we talked about dying in faith. We're not ready to live in faith until we're ready to die in faith. It's kind of like having insurance. You know, we bought a couple cars this last couple weeks in our house, and I had to go get insurance. And it's nice to have insurance on your vehicle. If you didn't know, at least my insurance company, once I buy a car, it's insured for 30 days, right when I sign the paper, right when I receive the title, which is comforting. I can leave right then and head out and know that my insurance is covered. That's the law of the land. And I don't think your salvation should be an insurance policy, but it sure is good to have assurance that today, if ultimately, and one day it's going to happen, ultimately you're going to die. And if you're not dying in faith, you're living a precarious, seriously dangerous life. And now we come to an example of faith that we said is the father of faith, and that's the faith of Abraham. And we look, I don't want you to be confused today that we look back, I generally mean this way, we look back to a bunch of people that we don't relate to anymore. That Abraham's faith was so incredible that God does not expect me to do that today. And I'm here to tell you that has never changed. God expects you to have the faith of Abraham. His faith hasn't changed. His power hasn't changed. And these are examples of us. And so I want to remind you of this. Well, the faith of Abraham should be one of those faiths that we should be wanting to see more in our life all the time. And it's so remarkable that he's considered the father of faith. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them. Shake your right foot. I don't know. Maybe it's too old. Some of you don't know that song. All right. To the Jew, he's the father Abraham because of the promises made to him by God on behalf of a nation and the people of Israel. And by the way, we're watching these come true before our very eyes. But for the Christian and the believing Jew, he is the father of faith and one that should be emulated by each of us every day. Now, we must remember that Abraham believed in a time with no law written down per se. There was a law in his heart. There's no Jewish temple, no Old Testament. He was not writing history. He was making history. He is a father of faith. There was no Jesus, no cross, no Sunday morning. It was all wrapped up in a promise from God. And we stand at a much richer place in history in that with the backdrop of all these promises fulfilled and a risen Savior, how much more we should believe in the promises of God in our life and time. I mean, if you just look back into history, and if you have any historical faith bone in your body, you can see the power of God move through this world. You can't deny it. And all these things came true. How much more should we believe in the promises of God in our life and time? So what can we learn from the faith of Abraham? And how can we emulate the faith today? And so let's read these three verses. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? By faith, you better get used to that word here. In this chapter, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offered up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. And he considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Church, would you take a moment and just ask the Lord to bless you? Ask the Lord to open your heart as we read those words. And just take a moment to ask the Lord's blessing on your life as you hear the preaching of the word. Would you take a moment to do that? Lord, we come before you and we're still before thee. And I pray that you would search our hearts right now. Lord, would you open it up bare? It is already, but would you help us to surrender it? And would you deal with us that needs to be dealt with today? Lord, we're running out of time. And it's coming close. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to run the race set before us. Oh God, would you open our hearts? Oh God, would you do that cleansing work? Lord, whatever it might be, a new commitment, a rededication, a salvation. We just never have really trusted you. We've never had faith in you. Or Lord, maybe it's just a good time of repentance. Of putting away a familiar sin, whatever it might be. Lord, I pray that you would work on our hearts today. May we look at this example of faith and emulate that as the Word of God asks us to. Thank you for your grace. Bless this preacher, Lord, please. May you give me unction by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we can learn from the faith of Abraham, and how can we emulate his faith here? And I tell you what, there's a lot of things I could talk about. But I'm just going to give you four really big ones that make him the father of faith, make him really an amazing person to be really the first to do many of these things that we take for granted now. And so to have faith, there's some things that Abraham did that we must. And the first one is quite simple, and we've talked about it quite a bit, and that his faith heard a call, and he left his old life to obedience. Church, look at me closely, look into my eyes. Until we leave our life of sin, there's no hope for me and you. Unless you repent, you likewise shall perish. We have to leave. And he heard the call to go, to leave this place and to go to a place that God has prepared. And you don't know where it's at. Boy, that sounds like the Christian life. And so he does this. Now, our faith cannot just be a hearing, but a doing. We love to hear the Word of God, don't you? I love to hear it. I love to hear the Word of God. I love to hear it preached. I'm looking forward to going to the state convention in October because I'm going to hear some great preaching. I love that. Sit with my wife, be filled, all that. But you know what? It's just nothing if I don't do anything about it. If I just keep going like I'm going, and yes, I'm getting rich. I get richer and richer in knowledge and poorer in the doing of the Word of God. We have to do it. And Abraham shows us, yes, he heard the call, but he didn't just sit down and build a condo. He got up and he left. And so he's calling us to do that. Everyone hears the Word of God, by the way. I believe that. But few follow the call. There's this general call out there. Jesus loves you. Steve puts it out here on the bulletin board in front of our church. And everybody reads it, and only a few people stop by. We got to do something different. And we got to be like Abraham, and it's the old way. We have to leave and go to God. And the beginning of faith starts with the call of God on our sinful heart, and you getting up and leaving your life as you know it and heading for a country that belongs to Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, it's an exciting life. If you think Christianity is boring, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I got bored on my sabbatical for one day, and I was jumping for joy. Because I hadn't been bored in years. And it was so wonderful to just stare at my wife and go, wow, we're bored. It's kind of nice, isn't it? Because this is an exciting life. And this is every Christian's path. And Abraham was the first to leave all for something he could not see. With his fleshly eyes, but left in it, but felt it in his heart that it was true, and he heard the word. You have heard the word of God. Have you done it? Have you up and left your sinful life? We call this turning or repenting. This first step in doing the will of God by faith is stopping the way you're going and turning and going the other way. The way you're going is leading to a life away from God and to destruction, and God is calling you out of it, and you are sick of it. Remember Pilgrim? He'd come home, he's stressed, his wife and children, I said, what's wrong with you? He says, the weight of the Lord is on me. I feel like we're sitting in the city of destruction. We're gonna all perish. And they're like, easy, man, relax. Man, you're getting all worked up. And they just couldn't figure out. And finally, he's out in the field, and he just takes off running because this man, evangelist, tells him, go to the wicket gate. There's a gate up there. And he took off running, and his wife came out and yelled at him, come back, come back. His children were yelling at him, come back. And what did he do? He plugged his ears and said, life, life, eternal life. That's what he did. That's an allegory of a man done with the world and going to follow God. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been a rebellious kid when you were young? When you were a kid, were you the one your mama stayed up at night praying for? Raise your hand. That's you. That's you. A few of you. Go again there. Come on. Be bold about it now. Be bold about it. All right. Good deal. Yeah, there you go, sister. Thank you. It was just a little brushing of the eyebrow, but I'm just teasing. Yeah. You know what? You were a rebellious kid. And you were fighting your parents, and you were being disobedient. And it's about half and half in a family. Maybe for your family it was all of you, I don't know. But at some point, you looked around your life and said, man, this just ain't working out. I'm kind of sick of being in this place. My parents are disappointed in me. I think I'm living up life, but you know, it's kind of coming to an end here. This is not the way to live. And one day you turned, and maybe you remember that. Maybe it was a process. Maybe it was a time where, you know, some consequences kind of caught up to you. Maybe you were sitting behind bars or in a bar. I don't know. But you came to a place and you said, that's enough. And it broke your heart and you came home. And it probably took you a while because you're just a kid, but a few years later you went up to your mother and father and went, "I'm sorry. I want to tell you I'm sorry for dragging you through all that." I was sitting out front here and greeting our people as they left church last Sunday, and I had a mother say, "Oh, I have a child that's so difficult." And I said, "You know what? The Bible says we'll get what we deserve." And I agree with that. The Lord will make sure you get what you deserve in a child, because is there anything else more heart-wrenching than seeing your children in difficult times? Well, folks, we have to turn at some point and come back to our Heavenly Father. And Abraham heard the call, and he left. So that's one point that we of faith must follow. The second thing was, he had a faith that did not require explaining, only sustaining. Let me read that again. He had a faith that did not require explaining, only sustaining. His faith is a remarkable faith, because Abraham had a faith, along with his wife Sarah, by the way, that required no explaining. They heard the call and left in a direction not knowing where his final destination would be. It was going, and other than that, God was going to call him. That's enough for him. That was enough. Here's something that was new to the Word of God. Now, to be very honest, this is remarkable, because for most of us, we require too much explanation. You know, before we're going to obey the God's call. Wait a minute. Whoa, 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 God. You're telling me what? Well, I want to know the specifics. I want to know how this thing's going to roll out. And I want to know the weather. Is it going to be mild? Or is it going to be really hot? Or is it going to be really cold? How about the living accommodations? Are they going to be suitable for us? How about the income? Is it going to be readily available? I mean, am I going to have to actually struggle? Or I want some explanation. You know, Abraham didn't do any of that. You know, God's not in the business of explaining. He's in the business of sustaining. And when you come to the end of yourself and you're standing maybe at the casket of your nearest and dearest, let me tell you, all the explanation won't help you. Even if you knew it all, you know what you need? You need the sustaining grace of God. In fact, it'll take you through everything. In fact, if you knew it all, if you got all your whys figured out, it still wouldn't bless you. What you need is the sustaining grace of God. And he left. Now, we must have a faith that only needs to know that God will sustain us. And when we require explanations, we begin to be that why Christian. You've been a why Christian before, haven't you? Lord, why does this happen to me? And why did that happen to me? Hey, I've been in too many counseling sessions where I had to say, I don't know. Why did the Lord allow that to happen to me when I was a kid? I don't know. This is a fallen, sinful, terrible world. Why did you do it? I don't know. We're a fallen people. And instead of concentrating on why, how about concentrating on who can sustain me through this? Don't you know Sarah and Abraham cried themselves to sleep hundreds of nights wishing to have a baby? Don't you think? I'm sure they said, "Lord, why can't we have a baby? Why can't we have a kid?" Now they said that, I'm sure of it. Dear brothers and sisters, if you're going to follow God in faith, you must resist for everything to be explained to you. And just trust that God will provide and sustain you where he has called you. David Livingstone, the great missionary to the Congo, was sent a letter by two college kids who says, "We want to come and help you. What road are you on?" And he wrote back, "If you need a road, don't come." That's tough, isn't it? If you need a road, don't come. hey, I want you ready to cut through the jungle with a hatchet for Jesus. He will sustain you. And David Livingston stayed there till the day he died, and they buried his heart in the Congo. And they took the rest of his body back to London, where his wife was intermediating his ministry and had not seen him in 13 years. Did you hear that? Can God sustain you? Could God provide for you? He can do this. And he met the Lord like that. So have you left your life of this world? Have you separated yourself? And have you come to a place where you say, you know what? I don't need anything explained out all the way. Lord, as long as you're with me and you're sustaining me. Hey, you're on the road to some incredible life in Christ Jesus. So what makes Abraham really the father of faith? Here's the crux of it all. I want you to listen closely. What makes his faith so incredible is he has two opposing sides, and he believes them both. Now, let me explain that to you. His faith believed two opposing sides, and he believed anyway. Let me explain it to you. On one side, here's Isaac, your beloved son. We're thinking he's about 12 years old, maybe 10. He is your descendant of promise. His descendants will be as the stars of the sky and as the sands of the sea. Go kill him. It says here, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Hey, here's the promise. Here's the command. Two opposing sides. First time we see it in the scriptures. First time we have to deal with it. And he says, I know the promise, but God has commanded me to do something. And I'm going to go do it. Because he always is faithful. And church, we say, wow, that's just, pastor, wow, that's some kind of faith. Hey, I'm here to tell you, I think you have to do this. Me and you have to do this. Now, he stood in the midst of two very different situations, a promise from God and a command from God. And he heard the command and believed that God was faithful to give him and Sarah Isaac. And he would be faithful to handle the situation, whatever the outcome. And we see the battle of faith in this arena of whether you're going to trust in the flesh or in the command of God. Now let's think about that. Don't you think that maybe just Abraham, once he got Isaac, he went, oh, wonderful. Don't you think there maybe was just a little bit of trusting now in the gift instead of the God of the gift? Don't you think as Christians we can struggle with this? That we can start beginning to just trust in the gift of God instead of the God of the gift. It happens all the time. Are you lonely? And you pray for a spouse and God finally gives you one and you begin to hope in the spouse more than the God that gave it. Happens, I've seen it. You have a dream to be in a certain field of work or even a calling from God, and God gives it to you, and you begin to hope in the career more than the God that caused it to happen. You're believing in the flesh. You pray for more income, to have a better life for your family, and to give to God, and God gives you increase, and you begin to trust in the uncertainty of wealth instead of the God who gave it. We can do this. And God commands us to let it all go. It goes on. You and your wife pray for a child and that you cannot seem to have. And then one day God gives you that gift. And you begin to turn your future and your hope into a child and not the God who gave it. You see, it's always the same. We are going to either follow God and his commands are we going to hope on something in this earth? And Abraham is an incredible, incredible example of giving up on any hope of this world and obeying the command of God. And we look at that, and it's phenomenal. It's just incredible that he gave up on any hope and went with the command of God. What has God been calling you to do? You're going to have to let go of the nearest and deepest and richest things in your life to obey God. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Christian, you have to do this. You're no different than Abraham. You got things you've been trusting in more than God and more than the command of God. And you got to let them go. Because if it can die, if it can be burned, if it can rust, if it can be destroyed, if it's not eternal, one day it will leave you completely hopeless. Just, that's it. You're not going to make it. Well, lastly, and I must close here, the fourth thing is his faith was the first to believe in the resurrection of the dead. Wow. Here's something new. You know, Adam sinned and they fell, and man, did they feel it. How much death reigned. And it was for sure. And though they lived a long time, death came eventually. And we see here that this is the first instance of someone believing in the resurrection of dead. For us to believe in opposing sides at the same time and leave this world in the flesh, we had better believe in life to come. It's what kept Abraham going. Did you see that? He considered God is able to raise people even from the dead. He thought when he pulled that knife out, he was going to stab Isaac, and the angel stopped him. He thought he was going to raise Isaac from the dead. That's amazing faith. Well, it's just a picture of something to come. It was a picture of something to come. God gets a lot of things done here. This was a picture of something incredible that was to come to pass. A father took his son, left home with him, went on a long journey, and went up on a mountain. Actually, not the largest mountain around, a very small mountain, Mount Moriah. And he made an altar, and his son said, "Daddy, where's the sacrifice?" He says, "Don't you worry about it, son. I got that handled." And they built an altar, and they got a bunch of wood on it. And I don't know how it rolled, but I think the love of a father and a son, I think he asked his son to get up on it. I think he did it willingly. And he held him down. And he pulled out a knife, according to the Genesis, and he is about to slay his son when the angel stopped him. And he says, "I can see now that you will hold nothing back from me." God blessed Abraham that day. And he said, "Look over there in the thicket." And there was a ram caught in the thicket. Of course, Abraham said, "What's going to be the sacrifice?" And God said, "I myself will provide a sacrifice." We go ahead about 1800 years. A father takes his son to the exact mountain Moriah. And he doesn't hold back. He sacrifices his son Jesus on the same place that Isaac was about to be sacrificed. And he poured all of his wrath and all of our sins and laid them upon Christ on the same place. And then Jesus died on that cross for you and for me and was buried. And guess what happened on the third day? He rose again. It was a picture. Abraham saw something from a far distance that now we look back and see with hope, but we still have to believe. See, it's all faith. It's all faith. We have to believe in a life after death. That we got to forsake this world and forsake our life to find it again. A resurrected life. I got up early this morning and I had some prayer time and I looked at the news for the hurricane. And a little thing popped up on some news out of Michigan that a younger woman, Carrie DeKline, died yesterday. It was such a sweet story. She, 24 weeks ago, found out she was expecting her sixth child. Six. And they were joyful, a good Christian family. And within just a few weeks of finding out she was pregnant, she found out she had a brain tumor. And the doctor says, we have to get on that right now, or you will perish. We have to start chemotherapy immediately on your tumor in your brain, or it's going to take your life. And she says, well, if you do chemo, what's going to happen to my baby? And they said, it will kill it immediately. And guess what she opted for? She opted for her baby. And last Thursday, they had Life Lynn DeKline at 24 weeks. She weighed just over 1 pound. And she's doing great. And 2 days later, the mama went to be with Jesus with a brain tumor. And they named the baby Life. Now, folks, outside of faith, that's a crazy. That's nuts. But when we have faith of Christ, this ain't it. God has given us sight. Our faith isn't blind. We have hope. And to see a husband saying, my wife made the best decision ever. She chose life through death. I praise the Lord for Carrie DeKline today. This morning I was in tears. Just thanking the Lord that we have faith on this place. That we can have faith like that. I'm going to ask you something. Do you have faith like this? Have you been just playing with God? Or are you ready to step out, step away from our old life? No explaining, just sustaining. Live for God. Oh my goodness. I don't care what happens. I'm going to do the command of God, whether it makes sense or not. And I am going to believe on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Hey, that's what God's called us to do. That's the faith of Abraham. If you've never come to faith, we're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask our folks to come to the piano and the pulpit here. And I want you to really think about that. Would you bow your head as we prepare for an invitation? Would you bow your head today? And I want you to do this. I want you to say, Lord, am I living in faith? And I'm living in the resurrection of the Lord. Am I living? Am I ready? And if I'm not, Lord, help me to not play games. Help me not to have my pride get in the way. But help me to get right with you today. Help me to start living for you today. Help me to leave my old life and follow you.